He chose us, and the purpose of His choosing was to set out our destiny. And what was our destiny? To be adopted as sons.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for being here as we celebrate 50 years of Bible teaching. In honor of that anniversary, each month we're going to air one of our most popular studies, and maybe none is better known than the study that begins today, The Gospel According to Jesus. And now, John, to help set the stage for this series, let's go back over 30 years to 1988, when you published a book with the same title as today's series, The Gospel According to Jesus. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that the issues you dealt with in that book, and also in this radio series, these are issues that have more or less defined your ministry. So tell our listeners why you felt the need to write this book and to preach these messages.
Well, I had reached a point in my heart where I was profoundly concerned about the fact that there were many, many unconverted people in churches. This had been boiling in my heart from way back in my days as a student, when I saw people who claimed to know Christ and didn't live for Him, didn't seem to love Him, didn't obey His word. I was always concerned about this, and it became apparent to me by 1988 that this had to be addressed, because there were books being written at that time that even said, if you have received Christ as your Savior at some point, you can even deny the faith, you can reject Christ, you can be an unbelieving believer, and you're still saved. You can walk away, you can reject Christ, but you're still going to heaven. There were people who actually believed that someone could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, say, I accept Him as Savior, and go on living exactly the same way they had lived before, in any kind of immorality, in any kind of sin, and they were still Christians. They had produced a minimalist kind of gospel that I felt was deceptive, and that all it did was make fake converts. Mm. But this was very, very popular stuff, and it had polluted the evangelical world almost extensively in the United States. So I became passionately concerned about what our Lord said in Matthew 7. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and we did this and we did that in Your name, and He'll say, depart from Me, I never knew You, you workers of iniquity. And by then I had realized that when someone is truly converted, their entire life changes. All their affections change, their desire changes, their behavior changes, their love changes. And I didn't see the church preaching that message. I remember reading in the most popular study Bible of the time that if you say somebody has to believe that Jesus is Lord, you're adding works to the gospel.
Right.
So that the lordship issue was being misrepresented. You can't even be saved unless you declare Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, it says in the book of Romans. So I was deeply concerned to address this issue, and that's what launched the book, The Gospel According to Jesus. It is still probably, as you said, the most defining book I've ever written, and maybe in some ways the most important book I've ever written, because it deals with the issue of salvation and it unmasks false conversion, something that was really big to the Reformers and even the Puritans, but was lost on this generation.
And friend, this study boils down to a comparison between the gospel Jesus preached and the one that's popular today. You may be surprised at the gaps between the two. So here's John to begin his look at the gospel according to Jesus.
Above all other things, we are grateful to God that He has saved us. Nothing else would matter if that were not true. And we affirm together that our salvation is fully the work of God, that He is worthy of all praise, for He has provided for us salvation. It is a gift. It has been given to us. It is all God's work, and all the glory belongs to Him. What a wonderful realization that is. One scripture stands out in my mind in thinking about this. Ephesians chapter 1, and I invite you to turn there in your Bible, if you will, Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read in your hearing verses 3 through 14. This great paean of praise from the heart of the Apostle Paul is not a cool documentation of some theological argument. It is the passion and overflow of his own thankful heart. It appears in the original as if there's no break at all. And while some of the translators have chosen to put commas and periods, it doesn't seem in the original that there's any stopping point from verse 3 through 14. He just continues to allow his heart, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to gush out praise for the God who has saved him. And as I read it in your hearing, would you listen for those things which assign our salvation wholly to God? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. What dominates this wonderful section of Scripture is the idea that God has brought about salvation by His own will and His own purpose and His own design and to the praise of His own glory. In verses 5, 9, and 11, salvation is ascribed to His will. In verses 6 and 7, it is ascribed to His grace. Again in verse 7, to His blood. In verse 4, to His love. In verse 9, to His good intention. In verse 11, to His purpose. And in verses 12 and 14, to the praise of His glory. Salvation is not a result of the will of man. It is not a result of the merit of man. It is not a result of some religious sacrifice on man's part. It is not a result of the love of man. It is not a result of the good intention of man. It is not a result of the purpose of man. And it is not to the praise and glory of man. Every aspect of salvation is born out of the purpose and the will and the plan of God, that when it is accomplished, it may be solely and only to the praise and the glory of God. God has saved us in order that He might be glorified. Therefore, all in our salvation belongs to His credit. Every aspect of salvation is the work of God, but you will notice here that that work is mediated through Christ. In verse 4, it says it is in him, meaning Christ. In verse 5, it says it is through Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says it is in the beloved one, meaning Christ. In verse 7, in him, meaning Christ. In verse 9, purposed in him, meaning Christ. In verses 10 and 11, in him, referring to Christ. In verse 12, in Christ. In verse 13, twice, in him, again referring to Christ. Our salvation is solely and only and wholly the work of God, but through Christ it is wrought, and also with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 notes that we have been sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, the guarantee of the full and future redemption of God's own possession. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are given all the credit for salvation, and thus theirs is all the praise. Let me remind you that every element in salvation is the work of God. And let me remind you by using the words of the Holy Spirit-inspired writer Paul. First of all, would you notice verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul is there saying the one deserving all the credit is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. This is praise to God, praise ascribed to God the Father for what He has done. And what has He done? Number one, He chose us. Look at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him, meaning Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us to be made holy in Christ. He chose us to become blameless in Christ. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, the verb He chose us means to pick for oneself. It's a reflexive verb, and it turns back on the one who chooses. God chose for His own sake. He chose for Himself, very personal. And He chose us, all of us who are saved, He chose, it says very explicitly, note it, before the foundation of the world, before the world ever began, before the world was ever created, which means before any of us were ever born, He had already chosen us. Scripture repeats this tremendous truth of the choice of God as to who would be redeemed before the world was ever made. It repeats it many places. Matthew 25, 34. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, said Jesus. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord designed His kingdom from before the foundation of the world, and He designed who would be in it from before the foundation of the world. And you and I are saved, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ because God chose us before the world ever began. What an incredible reality. In Luke 12, 32, we find again that the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." And again, the choice is always with God. Men don't choose God. God chooses men. His is the choice. In John, there are several wonderful statements to this effect, one familiar to us. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, compels him, pulls him, drags him." And in John 15, 16, that wonderful statement of Jesus to the disciples in which He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." We didn't choose him. He chose us. We didn't decide for Christ in the truest sense. He decided for us. In Acts chapter 9, you remember the Apostle Paul was confronted by the Lord on the Damascus Road, and the Lord said in verse 15, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine." The conversion of the Apostle Paul was abrupt, startling, shocking. The man was on his way to persecute Christians. He was supernaturally, divinely converted on the spot, transformed, and called to be an apostle because God had chosen him to that before the world began. In the 13th chapter of Acts, a most fascinating statement is found in verse 48. Paul and Barnabas, ready to preach. And when the Gentiles heard this, that is regarding the gospel and the gospel of salvation, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Now note this, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. The only people who believe are those who had been appointed to eternal life. God only grants the gift of faith to those who are predestined to salvation. He chose us, and to those he has chosen, he gives the power to believe. In 2 Thessalonians, a wonderful statement, chapter 2, verse 13, "But we should always give thanks to God for you." Why should we always thank God? "Brethren, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." That's why we thank him. We don't thank you for your salvation. We don't thank you for being bright enough, clever enough, spiritual enough, insightful enough. We thank God for you because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Through sanctification by the Spirit, coupled with belief in the truth. There has to be faith on your part, but that faith is the result of God's choosing as he prompts it by his Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who has saved us," speaking of God, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was," follow this, "granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." Tremendous statement. He saved us. He called us, not according to our works, but according to his purpose, his grace, granted us in Christ from all eternity. That's mind-boggling to me. I'm a Christian today because before the foundation of the world, from all eternity past, God chose to set his love on John MacArthur and to give him the faith to believe at the moment that God wanted him to believe. He chose us. Our names, it says in Revelation 17, 8, were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. We are, says Peter, chosen, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. We are chosen unto salvation. We are chosen to belong to him. When you look at your salvation, then thank God. Thank God, because you're a Christian, because he chose you. I don't understand the mystery of that. That's just what the Word of God teaches. That is the most humbling doctrine in all of Scripture. I take no credit, not even credit for my faith. It all came from him. He chose me. He selected people to be made holy in order to be with him forever. Why he selected me, I will never know. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm worse than many, but he chose me. Someone wrote, "I sought the Lord and afterwards knew he moved my soul to seek him seeking me. It was not that I found, O Savior, true. No, I was found by thee. He chose us. He gets all the credit. Secondly, he predestined us, verse 5. It says it. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. His will, his intention, his purpose determined our destiny. That's what predestined means. It means to previously determine someone's destiny. He did that. He chose us, and the purpose of his choosing was to set out our destiny. And what was our destiny? To be adopted as sons. Incredible. He chose us for the purpose of predetermining our destiny to be children of God. The purpose of his choosing was to make us his children. To as many as receive him, John 1:12, he gives the power to become what? The children of God or the sons of God. And we are his children, Romans 8 says, and we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. It says the same thing in Galatians 3:26. We are his own beloved children. We belong to him. In Galatians 4:6, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What a tremendous reality. We are his children. We are not just his children. We are his beloved children. We are his adored children. And John says, and it's little wonder that he says it in 1 John 3:1, how great love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. But we are. We are. And so he chose us. And he chose us for the purpose of predetermining our destiny to become his children. And he did it according to the kind intention of his will. He did it, to put it simply, because he wanted to. It gave him pleasure. And he says in Isaiah 46:10, I do all my good pleasure. I fulfill all my purposes. It's an incredible thought. God in eternity past chose you for a destiny. And that destiny was to become his child. Now, to make that possible, we come to a third reality here. He graced us. He graced us. The plan, the choice, the predestination was activated in reality through his grace. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved one who is Christ. What is grace? Undeserved favor? Unearned blessing? Unmerited goodness and kindness? Grace is giving us something we do not deserve at all. And that's the way we're saved. We're saved by grace. In Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. We would take the credit if we had any credit to take. But it's all of him. The grace is of him. The faith is of him, not according to our works. In Acts 15:11, do you remember that wonderful and simple, straightforward statement? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. What a testimony. We believe we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. And in the 18th chapter of Acts, same book, verse 27, it says, He wanted to go across to Achaia. The brethren encouraged him, wrote to the disciples to welcome him, speaking of Paul. When he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace. It's the only way anybody believes is God graciously gives you the ability to believe. You don't deserve it. He gives it anyway. You can't merit it. He gives it anyway. You can't earn it. He gives it anyway. Romans 3:24 says we are justified as a gift by His grace. A gift by His grace. He graced us. In fact, the phrase there in verse 6 literally means by grace we have been graced. That's the idea. He graced us in Christ, the Beloved One. Grace, then, was the means by which He brought to pass His choice and His predetermined destiny and made us His children. Fourthly, notice what He did. He redeemed us, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. He redeemed us. What does it mean to redeem? To buy back. What did He do to buy us? Well, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death and hell and Satan and demons. We were slaves to the fallen flesh. We were slaves to the world. And there we were in the slave market. And He came to the slave market and He bought us. Worthless, wretched, vile, rotten, darkened, hopeless, with minds that could never know God and hearts that could never seek righteousness. And all our desire was lust and evil. And we were unworthy. And He came and bought us. Why? Because He chose us. Because He predestined us. Because He was wanting to grace us with grace.
That's Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for tuning in today. John is president of the Master's University and Seminary. Today he began a study titled The Gospel According to Jesus. This series answers questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And what is the gospel? It's a study you'll want to share with others, especially new believers. The Gospel According to Jesus comes in a 6-CD album. Get your copy when you contact us today. To order the CDs, call us toll-free 800-55-GRACE or visit our website, gty.org. This 6-CD album costs $27, and shipping, as always, is free. You can also download every message from The Gospel According to Jesus free of charge at gty.org. That's our website, gty.org, and when you visit, make sure to download the Study Bible app. This free app puts the full text of Scripture on your smartphone or your tablet in the English Standard, King James, or New American Standard versions. It also allows you to link instantly from whatever passage you're studying to the related online resources, including our study guides, blog articles, and sermons from John MacArthur. It's a great app. To download it, again, it's simply called the Study Bible. Visit gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Phil Johnson, reminding you to watch Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378, that's NRB TV. And then be back here tomorrow when John continues his look at what it means to be a Christian. Don't miss the next installment of his study titled The Gospel According to Jesus. So join us as we continue celebrating 50 years of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You.